Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. Today, we're doing another TMZ Illuminate Confirmed Roundup. We're going to hit you with all of the Illuminati-related, gossipy, tabloidy, sleazy little news you want to hear about your favorite celebrities. We're going to talk about symbolism of we got Bad Bunny, news updates with Tupac, Jamie Foxx's clones are marching out. RFK Jr.'s turning the friggin' frogs gay. Jonah Hill's Illuminati humiliation rituals. New segment called As Above, So Below, where we talk about the infamous viral American Airlines woman. And that mother effer that wasn't real on the plane. As well as the below, right? As above in the airplanes, so below. With the Ocean Gate, Titanic conspiracy theories. And then, of course, we got lots of satanic type of stuff. God, put that in quotes, right? We've got Madonna. She almost died. Doja Cat's got an alter ego named Scarlet. And you already know where we're going with that. Hopefully you listen to this podcast, you know where we're going with that. We've got Damson Idris summoning the devil and Travis Scott. Last but not least, Travis Scott. Egyptian drama. Accusations about Freemasonry. Worshipping Satan. Some trouble he got into in Egypt. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to talk about it. A lot's been going on. We haven't done a TMZ type show in a while. You know how this show format goes. We blast through a lot of topics. There's a lot, and we could have deep dived any of these things. We had the Unabomber who suicided himself. He, of course, was part of the MKUltra experiment. If you've ever read his manifesto, you'd agree with half of the stuff he said. And of course, we don't condone the way he tried to carry that out. But if you read the manifesto, which we probably shouldn't because you're not supposed to pay attention to the homicidal maniacs in the room, you'd say, you know what, he's kind of right about technology being a real problem. It's kind of prophetic in that. Apple's going to unload a $3,500 stupid VR headset. Who cares? It's going to push us into the Matrix. That's who cares. They're going to find a way to push adult-themed content on there, I'm proposing. I actually said that on an interview with Robert Phoenix Farcast back in 2012, I think it was, one of the first shows I did, about how VR, the Matrix, it's all coming. And so will you when they find a way to get you into the thing. You know what, Apple? Why don't you just go ahead and make some AirPods that don't fall apart for me, okay? I bought these AirPods. I mean, they're a great product, don't get me wrong. But these damn things, man, they don't hold a charge. I don't know what's going on. Anyway. I'm fully invested in Cult of Apple. I can't get out now. I'm in too deep. They make a pretty good product. I can't complain. I'm not thrilled about my, you know, I expect my Apple products to last longer than the technology. You know what I mean? I expect it to need updates, and that's to the point where I'm like, all right, fine, I'll buy a new one. So maybe I should quit whining. They did pretty good. All right, Bad Bunny. He was on the Rolling Stone. I posted the images on my, I think, Twitter and Instagram. He's showing us the all-seeing eye. You know, an oldie but a goodie. But what's more interesting is that he had a tattoo on display on his torso, on his chest, or his stomach, I don't really know, of the alchemical rebus. A lot of people probably didn't catch this. I'd guess 100% of all normies didn't catch this. It was, and I'm not stretching on a limb on this one. It was literally the alchemical artwork, right? The alchemists hid a lot of their symbolism in their art. And one of the actual images was reproduced as a tattoo, as you can see on Bad Bunny. And of course, the rebus, what's interesting is that it's symbolism of the perfected being, the final product of the great work, as they say, okay? It's the hermaphroditic male and female combined. It's the return to what the Kabbalists believe is the real Adam, Adam Karman, back before the, you know, before the 100% male was in the Garden of Eden. There was a different Adam that was a hermaphroditic entity of male and female. And they sometimes refer to it as the Red King and White Queen, the male and female combined. Some call it the sacred marriage or the alchemical wedding of Christian Rosenkreutz. A lot of deep meanings, but the point to take away, it goes back, of course, to the heart of all occult practices, to sex magic. And of course, you know we're doing lots of Twin Peaks episodes over on the supporter feeds. We're doing the Grey Lodge, and you see this idea with, because if you watch Twin Peaks, you know there's storylines tying us into Tantric Buddhism in Tibet, and you see the alchemical rebus as the symbol for the union of opposing polarities. Of course, conducted through sex magic, the male and female combined. Sometimes they'll use a female to stand in as the goddess for the ritual. Anyways, massive subject, of course. Point being, he didn't come up with that tattoo out of nowhere. What does he know? Wish we knew. He's sexually very fluid. He's kissing dudes, but saying he's heterosexual. Hey, you know what? Whatever works for you, buddy. I actually don't care. But the tattoo is of interest, right? That is an occult reference. What does Bad Bunny know? Does he know anything? Did he just think it was a cool-looking piece of art? Maybe. Speaking of Kabbalist, Madonna. She almost died. We almost lost Madonna. Can you believe it? I, of course, being the heretic and sorry, it's late. It's a late night on a Thursday here. My brain's not working too well. What's it called when you say do as I do, not say as fuck? You know what I'm saying. I like Madonna. Sorry. She's Illuminate confirmed. I don't care. I love 80s, some of 90s Madonna, even some of the 2000s Madonna's pretty good. So, anyways, I'm going to read you from TMZ because this is what they tell us. I don't know if I believe it, though. Madonna is not out of the woods after being hospitalized for a serious... Well, this is old news. She is out of the woods now, supposedly. She was hospitalized for a serious bacterial infection. We're told she's still bedridden, and people around her think she's in no shape to kick off the world tour, because she's starting a world tour, by the way. And I don't do concerts, but I looked up ticket prices. I think it was in Las Vegas. Still too rich for my blood. I don't like the concert thing unless it's at the right venue, then I like it. But I don't want to be in a packed stadium full of normie mouth breathers, you know. There's all the problems with the concert that I don't like. Sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ Madonna's been vomiting uncontrollably since being discharged from the hospital, and the infection is still wreaking havoc on her body. We're told Madonna's still too sick to get out of her bed, and that's old news, right? She was in intensive care, by the way. This was not a small thing for her. She is speaking out for the first time since the hospitalization, announcing fans she's made the difficult decision to delay her tour until October. She said, "My first thought when I woke up in the hospital was my children. My second thought was that I did not want to disappoint anyone who bought tickets for my tour." So there you go. Is that what really happened? I don't know. What's odd about Madonna, there's many odd things about Madonna, by the way. She's been all over the conspiracy circuit. She got Britney Spears into Kabbalah. We talked about that on the recent episode of the Britney Spears posting of the Eliphas Levi magic book on her Instagram. Of course, questionable. Did Britney really post that? I don't know. Handlers, probably. We now know handlers is no longer a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. So we can etch that out. That's a real thing that happens. And Madonna, you know, early pandemic time, she was singing about fried fish in her bathtub. I said, my goodness, are they going to do her like they did Whitney? We'll see. And by the way, like off topic, but I saw a photo of her recently and she's looking good again. Her face was really swollen and crazy looking. I don't know what kind of weird plastic surgery she was doing. But it seems like the swelling's gone down. She's looking all right again, okay? Hypocritical. That was the term I was looking for 3 minutes ago. It's very hypocritical and very heretical for me. Always exposing the occult and Illuminati in Hollywood. But hey, you know what? I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to stop listening to 80s Madonna. And like I always say, the second you want to cancel somebody, you better be willing to pay the ultimate price. And that's you no longer get to listen to Michael Jackson. So until the day you are ready to stop listening to Michael Jackson, miss me with that cancel culture stuff. I don't buy into it. People are flawed. Guess what? That's what the Bible says. I believe it. Every one of us is born with sin. We all make mistakes. I get to listen to Madonna and Michael Jackson. Moving on. Speaking of strange female singers, Doja Cat, she has a new track, a new video called Attention. And I paid attention to the video, and I'm going to put the images on the Instagram. You better be following at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes as always. That's where I'm going to post these images. In the music video, she's walking around outside, Hollywood paparazzi type folks taking photos. She's walking down a sidewalk. Somehow, they found an outside exterior shot sidewalk of a checkered pattern floor. I don't know where they found it, but they were sure to put it in the video. Okay. They struggled to find it. And of course, as you know, the checkered floor, Freemasonic symbolism. What is it showing us? The union of opposing polarities. See Bad Bunny, Alchemical Rebus tattoo. For more on that, what are we talking about? Sex magic, the final stage of alchemy. It's about these artists pretending to become gods. It doesn't matter if you understand what the symbolism means. It's a ritual for them, okay? It's a ritual that they think they're going to unlock some supernatural power. I don't know what they're thinking they're going to do. Live forever? I don't get it. They think they're going to unlock superpowers and become gods. That's why you see the symbolism. That's the short version. But in the video, you see a bunch of people wearing weird distorted masks. One has devil horns. Okay. Very strange. We see, if you watch, there's a very short part where you see Doja Cat completely nude, covered in blood. What we later find out, this is an alter ego of hers named Scarlet. We're going to unpack that in a second. And at the end of the video, she's walking down the sidewalk. You see the giant photo flash in what appears to be an all-seeing eye. Why not, right? The all-seeing eye, always watching. The grand creator, as they say in Freemasonry, that's their god. The all-seeing eye symbolizes their god. It also symbolizes the pineal gland, or the third eye, or the enlightenment, or the awakening of the initiate. Now, if you go to her Twitter, which she has deleted a bunch, on June 15th, she wrote, "Scarlet is here with a blood drop." And all of that, the whole sentence and everything, was inverted. It was upside down. Plus, her bio now just shows a blood drop. She's drawing your focus to blood and this name Scarlet, this alter ego of hers named Scarlet. So much so, her new tour is called the Scarlet Tour. And previously, she had tweeted and then deleted, "Let myself heal, scar finally sealed," with a blood drop. Healed from what exactly? Well, we can propose some theories, and that's what she wants us to do, so why not? And then the artwork single for Attention, if you look at that, it's got her as the bloodied alter ego of Scarlet with an inverted A. as well as an inverted explicit lyrics warning. What does that all mean? I'm guessing the A is inverted and the A stands for attention because that's the single. The inversion is a satanic reference. You are inverting reality. You're looking at it through a new lens. What's good is bad. What's bad is good. All right. And it's a Gnostic idea as well. Now, recall that she said last year she was done making music. She wasn't making music anymore. So, in theory, she is committed to that because now she's like, I'm not Doja Cat anymore. Now I'm Scarlet. What does that mean? I think this was planned out. This was a whole long-range plan of her introducing us to this reborn alter ego of her called Scarlet. And she told you last year, she's like, Doja Cat's not making music anymore. She was planting that seed. She is now this reborn occult figure. She conducted possibly a blood sacrifice, possibly a Faustian bargain, signing a blood contract. The selling of the soul, perhaps. I don't know. This year, she also got a tattoo of a giant demonic-looking bat. And she said this. These are her words, not mine. She says the bat is a symbol and here we go, quote, often represents death in the sense of letting go of the old and bringing in the new. They are symbols of transition, of initiation, and the start of a new beginning. Wasn't that something? Initiation into what? Doja Cat. And the video is about paparazzis taking photos of her. This is more of that entertainment Hollywood handler type thing. And that's what the whole video shows us. It shows us all the Freemason symbolism, the checkered floor, the masks, which is what the hoodwink, they call it the hoodwink in Freemasonry, and you use it on, I think it's the third degree of initiation. They cover the eyes of the candidate, symbolizing that they are just a dumb sort of normie with ignorant. And then the worshipful master removes the hoodwink. Now they can see. Their eyes are open, like the serpent tells Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that he will do. He will open your eyes. That's why they always talk about the light. I can see the light now. It's a Luciferian reference. And Doja Cat's straight up telling us she's in the Illuminati. I don't know if she says she's trolling. I don't know if it's true. If you recall, we talked about her 27th birthday party on this show back when it happened, full of symbolism of Freemasonry and the Illuminati. Now she's saying she's been initiated. She's in a stage of transition with this bat tattoo. She's got this Scarlet Woman alter ego and all the satanic inversion symbolism. And of course, you know, 27 Club is another strange reference there. And of course, the name Scarlet is a reference to the Scarlet Woman. Aleister Crowley all of his women were called the Scarlet Women. It was a reference to using a woman as the Whore of Babylon to procreate and create the Antichrist. That's what Jack Parsons was trying to do. It's an occult reference. Speaking of worshiping the devil, there's an actor named Damson Idris. And he had a real interesting thing that he said. At Dirt Beer Guy on Twitter sent me this. It says, Damson Idris reveals he had nightmares after calling on the devil to help him with his role on Snowfall. Quote, I had nightmares for a month. Like, I had nightmares every day. Like, I just felt that energy. And I had to pray and do all this stuff to get rid of it. Excuse me? And look, I had no idea who Damson Idris was. He's an actor, obviously. And apparently he was or is dating Lori Harvey, Steve Harvey's daughter, made famous through Future. He rapped about not wanting to be with Steve Harvey's daughter anymore. In the rudest way possible, as he does. So Damson, he is on a show called Snowfall, and he plays a drug dealer. And it's apparently, I've never seen it, about selling crack in 1980s Los Angeles, which is crazy because that's actually a real conspiracy, no longer theory, but a fact. It's where the whole Freeway Ricky Ross story comes in. The CIA allegedly was funding this whole operation about having the... They were trying to find a way to fund the... what is it, the Sandinista rebels in Nicaragua. So they were taking coke and teaching inner city folks in Los Angeles how to make crack out of it. It's a whole thing, right? And a journalist named Gary Webb exposed it, sort of, and then committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice, as one does. And then Tucker Carlson helped run a smear campaign against Gary Webb. Because, you know, he always wanted to be an intelligence agent. Tucker Carlson wanted to be in the CIA so bad, and he couldn't cut it. So then he decided to do a career in journalism like his father. Anyway, Damson says he was reaching out to the devil for assistance in acting, something we hear about oftentimes, which reminds me of Michael K. Williams. Remember, we did a show about him. He was an actor who died, and he talked about the darkness of this role he had on the H.P. Lovecraft show on HBO. Okay? He said something very similar to what Damson said. I'm actually going to read you the... What Damson Idris actually said from Vibe magazine. All right. Damson Idris has revealed that he called on the devil for inspiration while filming Snowfall during a drama. Oh, I just understand what Snowfall means. It's like cocaine, right? I get it now. During a drama actors roundtable discussion for The Hollywood Reporter, the host asked the performer about the dark places they would inhabit for villainous roles. Idris, 31, gave it, because Idris plays a drug dealer, okay? Idris, 31, gave an example of when he had to channel a particular dark energy to get into Franklin Saint's headspace. However, after calling on the devil for pointers, the British star revealed he suffered from intense nightmares in the aftermath. Quote, in this last season, I was hitting a block. I was like, oh, I'm not doing it right. He discloses at the 9:50 mark of the video. I went in the corner, and then I was looking at the wall, and I was like, come on, devil, come on, devil, come to me, come to me. I had to do something like crazy. I had nightmares for a month. I had nightmares every day. I just felt that energy, and I had to pray and do all this stuff to get rid of it. You know, you call your mum up, oh, because he's British, right? You call your mum up, and you're like, bring me back to life. That stuff is real. That stuff is really, it's real. I actually believe that. I believe that if you call upon the devil, he will show up. We've seen this many times, like I told you about Michael K. Williams, but you hear about the Faustian bargain. I don't know what it looks like. Everyone, you know, all the skeptics say, well, what does it look like? Are you in the room and then a guy with a pitchfork walks in the door and you sign a paper? I don't know if it's like that. You're talking about something conducted on the spiritual level. I would argue it works probably similar to God if you believe in the Christian God, well, you know, Christ. It's probably something like that. You know, I say prayers. I don't hear Jesus talking to my head. I don't see Jesus walking through my house and he's like, hey, buddy, you're doing real good. Let me help you out here. Like, that's not my experience. You know, and I always struggle because some people get that experience, and I question if they're crazy or maybe they really are blessed by God. I don't know. I haven't had that experience. I feel, it's a tough spiritual question, right? But the point is that you're talking about going into another realm, and I don't know that it's as materialistic as we want to pretend it is. Speaking of summoning the devil and then regretting it and then trying to act like you don't really do that stuff, let's talk about Travis Scott. We did a whole show on him just last week about how he's going to release this new album, Utopia. And the kickoff party is at the Egyptian Pyramids, where he'll be performing. All right. I'm going to read you from Pitchfork something very strange that has happened since that recording. According to an English version of Egypt's government-owned newspaper, Al-Aram, the syndicate, talking about the Egyptian syndicate, said that it is committed to preserving the security and stability of our beloved homeland and rejects any actions that go against its societal values, and claimed that Travis Scott's concerts involve strange rituals. The newspaper also reports that the opposition is due to the 2021 mass casualty incident at Astroworld that left 10 attendees dead. Scott announced his Egyptian concert just over a week after a Texas grand jury declined to indict the rapper on criminal charges. What's going on here? It sounds like they're trying to cancel this Travis Scott concert at the Pyramids. Now, that is supposed to happen Friday night. I am recording this show on a Thursday night, so depending on when you hear it, this might be old news. We're going to know the truth here about what's going on. LA Times said that Live Nation claimed the show was definitely still happening and nothing is being canceled, contrary to what this Egyptian syndicate is claiming. LA Times also said Travis Scott, 32, was accused online of allegedly being affiliated with Freemasonry and being involved in anti-Egyptian Afrocentrism agendas, satanic rituals, and actions that were perceived as violations of Egyptian societal values. Then, because there's different sort of verbiages being used on different platforms here, okay? Let's keep reading on the LA Times. It says, the syndicate's president and board said that after reviewing the opinions of Egyptians on social media and after receiving several reports about Scott, they decided to cancel the issued permit, according to a translated Arabic statement cited by Egypt's state-run Al-Ahram newspaper and other Arab media. Al-Ahram, man, I'll never cut it in Egypt. Al-Ahram reported that the opposition to Scott's concert in Egypt primarily stems from the fatal crowd crush at Astroworld. Okay, you already know that. Fringe conspiracy theories and viral misinformation campaigns about the concert ran rampant after the festival and claimed that Scott, who founded and performed at the fest, orchestrated it as a massive satanic ritual. Among the pundits and influencers who officially requested that authorities cancel the show at the Pyramids was lawyer Amir Abdel Sami, who made several TV and newspaper remarks vilifying the rapper, denouncing Egypt hosting an artist he described as Masonic, satanic, and devil worshiper with a dark history.
Ugh. Okay.
Okay. What do we say about this? I, of course, was one of the people that covered the Travis Scott concerts after it happened. I think I did four different episodes diving into it. And I pulled out a lot of proof. Proof of what, though, right? Proof that there is symbolism of satanic nature. That's a fact. That was at the concert. They can't tell me otherwise. There are video clips and testimonies of people saying that there was a lot of dark energy there. There's literal video of Travis Scott laughing when you can see ambulances clearly going through the crowd. Now, there's counter claims that say, well, he did stop it and he asked if something's going on. But in his own documentary that I covered on, I think it was episode 3, he talks about how he sort of endorses violence at his concerts. Not sort of, he definitely did. And the proof is in the pudding here, okay? Why haven't we had another Astroworld concert ever since then? Exactly. Riddle me that, Batman. Is it to save face? Or is there something that's pretty bad about this whole thing? You know, if it was just an accident, just an innocent accident, nothing bad happened, why not throw another concert up? right? It was a huge to-do in Houston. I think the mayor is even involved with making sure the Astro World happens, if I recall from watching the documentary about it. Now, does that mean Travis Scott worships the devil? I don't know. He certainly had a lot of evil, dark, satanic symbolism. Is he just trying to be edgy and dark? Eh, possibly. I mean, artists do that. It's possible. I don't know that we can take the leap of saying, nope, Travis Scott is Masonic, satanic, and a devil worshiper. He's got a lot of dark influences, I know that much, judging by the symbolism that he chooses to use at his concerts of doves catching on fire, being expelled from hell. There, he was during the concert where 10 people got killed, he was wearing a shirt that showed a man going through some kind of gateway and coming out the other side with devil horns on. I mean, there's just so much there. You got to listen to that show. In fact, my show got picked up on a Newsweek article talking about the conspiracy theories about this exact concert. So there's something there, right? On Twitter, I retweeted a video that shows this Egyptian news show with translated captions. So maybe fake news, maybe the captions are off a little bit. I couldn't tell you. But the person being interviewed is that lawyer, Amir Abdel Salam. And the captions say that he's saying stuff like this. He says, "This singer has a black record. He is known to be a staunch supporter of global Freemasonry and the Afrocentric organization that opposes Egyptian identity and heritage. He performs the full range of satanic rites." And he also says that Scott's been banned from performing in the U.S. since 2021 and that the Astroworld show had music emitting negative energy. While they proceeded to show stock footage of Young Thug. Okay. Maybe they don't quite understand what they're talking about. But, you know, and Young Thug, of course, he's going through a court trial right now. He was a bad boy, too. But what's true here? What's true in the statements made by that lawyer says the singer has a black record. If he means a dark past, yeah, he does have a record that's not so positive. I've unpacked symbolism from many of his videos over the years. I was talking about Travis Scott long before the Super Bowl performance and way before the Astroworld concert. We're going back to 2013 or 14. I was pointing out symbolism in his videos on my blog. All right. I don't just pick on people to pick on people. He says he is known to be a staunch supporter of global Freemasonry. Now, I don't know if I'd say a staunch supporter, right? Staunch means, I had to look up the definition. It means loyal and committed. I mean, he doesn't advertise that he's a Freemason, but, you know, what might be a more accurate is a translation of the claim I read on a different website, alarabia.net, that said the lawyer said that he promotes Masonic thoughts. Now, I think that might be more accurate. To say he's a staunch supporter of global Freemasonry, I mean, I haven't seen him taking photos with the Freemasonic apron on exactly, okay? I don't know that he's ever said he's been a Freemason or in the Boule or any secret societies. But I would stand behind the idea that he might be promoting Masonic thoughts. What Masonic thoughts? Questioning the Christian God? Pushing symbolism of alchemy? That's what I would think. He claims that he performs the full range of satanic rites. Now, full range, I mean, that might be a stretch. Unless you buy off on the blood sacrifice theory of the concert. If you think that he was purposefully having his fans killed as a sacrifice to Satan, then yes, that's the highest order of ritual is the blood sacrifice. I don't know. Tough one, right? Full range? I mean, then he also says that Travis Scott's been banned from performing in the U.S. since 2021. That's fake news. Thanks to people on Twitter that were helping me dig into this. At MyBassHurts on Twitter, great username. We know that he did a concert in July of 2022 at Coney Island. So, kind of debunked, as people sent me Rolling Loud Miami 2022 footage of Future bringing out Travis Scott. Yes, he wasn't headlining, though. He wasn't doing his own tour like he's kicking off here now.
Also, he says the last show, the Astroworld show from 2021, had music emitting negative energy. And this is true, right? Lots of witnesses were saying that they heard a really bizarre sound, some very low frequency sounds. And then finally, can we confirm that he is doing satanic rituals at his concerts? I think that could be a bit subjective, right? I think if you define Satanism as dark energy, and you defined ritual as a gathering of people focusing on the same energy, then yes, it's possible. Because Travis Scott, he's got that violent leaning in his concerts. He's got plenty of dark anti-Christian symbolism. So I could agree with this. I mean, especially if you consider, most hip-hop has a very dark leaning, right? And I wouldn't go to his concerts, and I like some of his music. Also, don't go to concerts, so there's that. There's that. The whole Travis Scott thing's interesting. Let's see what happens. Will he actually perform at the Egyptian pyramid? I don't know. Time will tell. By the time you hear this, we might already know. Tupac, he's back in the news. And, they think that they might have found a lead. I'm going to read you from TMZ. The home cops raided in Las Vegas this week in connection with the unsolved Tupac murder belongs to the wife of a guy who says he was in the car with a man who shot and killed the late rapper. TMZ has confirmed the address where Vegas Metro executed a search warrant Monday night. It's owned by a woman named Paula Clemens, who's married to Keith D. Folks familiar with Tupac lore know exactly who Keith D is. He's a former Crip, and for years now, he's been doing interviews claiming to be the uncle of the late Orlando Anderson, who's been suspected, at least on the streets, to have been the shooter. Orlando and his crew, including Keith, were in Vegas that night, and both were actually jumped by Tupac, Suge Knight, and other Death Row affiliates at the MGM Grand. It's an altercation that was caught on surveillance video. Many thought Orlando may have orchestrated revenge shooting after the Mike Tyson fight that night. And Orlando himself denied any involvement before he himself was killed in a shootout. So more to come, right? Fascinating stuff, right? I grew up, that was my prime years, was listening to Tupac and Big, so this is a big deal to me. I wrote about Tupac and a lot of strange connections in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. I still question, because one of the theories that stands out to me is I question Quincy Jones. Got a lot of connections here. Tupac apparently said some unfavorable things about him, and he was dating his daughter at the time that he got murdered. I think he was engaged. I think they were engaged to marry, actually, so... And Quincy Jones, that dude's connected, right? He can make things happen, I'm sure of it. More to come on that. Moving on to celebrities that may be dead but may be alive still. Jamie Foxx. Allegedly, he's alive. That's what the tabloids are telling us. They're saying, oh, there he is. He took a photo from a boat. And he sent a message out to social media. Jury's still out, in my opinion. And the photo that they released, it doesn't quite look like Jamie Foxx, pushing a theory that they cloned his ass. And the clone thing, I get it. That's a stretch. That's a tough one to really get behind 100%. But, anything's possible, right? Now, here's what's interesting. There's a new Netflix film called They Cloned Tyrone which stars Jamie Foxx. I mean, very strange. And listen to the description of the movie. On July 14th, get ready for culture's next classic with the new Netflix film, They Clone Tyrone, starring Jamie Foxx, Tayana Paris, and John Boyega as a pimp, a pro, and a hustler who discovers a series of mysterious and eerie events that thrust them into the center of a sci-fi government conspiracy, except this one isn't just a theory. Are you even kidding me right now? Or maybe this is all a massive publicity stunt. You know, because sometimes I wonder if the whole conspiracy movement doesn't get co-opted sometimes to push narratives or just plain old marketing strategy. So to have this plot line about government conspiracy theories and cloning people and Jamie Foxx, I mean, you got to keep that as an option. I mean, it is odd how, yeah, and if you listen to the bonus show we did, I think in June, about Jamie Foxx, we talked about T.I. making allegations that Diddy was melting Jamie Foxx's brain with lithium, and then Jamie Foxx sort of made mention of this idea. Then we got the stabby allegations. It's also very strange. And, you know, like Mike Tyson said, if we don't know by now, they don't want us to know. Could be it was all publicity stunt. I don't know. I mean, it's strange that if Jamie Foxx is so healthy and so great, why not have more photos, more footage, more information? I mean, of course people are going to spin up and wonder, but maybe that's what they wanted. Maybe they wanted us to talk cloning conspiracies, and that sort of links into the movie, and now more people would be interested. I don't know. You know? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm going to read you from, you know, I go back and forth on this guy. If you follow my Twitter, you know I go back and forth on the guy. You know, and ultimately, let me tell you my perspective on politics. Do not look to anybody from either party to save you. That's what the system wants. You got to be independent. You gotta be in charge of your own life, and you gotta pull yourself up by your bootstraps. No, but here's the thing: I support the Bill Cooper stance, and this is me paraphrasing. And you know, I don't know every single thing Bill Cooper ever said. He was on the radio many years. Some things I have heard from him, in general, he seemed like he cared about people. Okay, as do I. And he warned against socialism at the same time. There's ideals of socialism that I like, but the reality is, the problem with socialism is that you end up giving more power to an authoritarian figure. And depending, and you could argue this on both sides of the aisle, whether you're into the right side of the spectrum or the left, either way, if you're looking to an authority figure to help you achieve your goals of how you want the world to look, you're in for heartache. You're giving up privacy. You're giving up independence. You're giving up freedom. You're going to get that. And look, that's a socialist thing, and that's a conservative thing. Oh, but conservatives like limited government. Sure, until it's getting something they want done, you know, taking away women's rights is one example. Oh, but it's to do this and that. Sure, you can label it and package it up however you want, and you wouldn't be wrong sometimes, you know. I get it. I get the arguments. But when you rely on an authority figure, you're giving that authority figure more power. It's a matter of time before that axe swings back the other way. So when I talk about these politicians, when I'm on Twitter and I'm saying, I really like this RFK guy, and then I change my mind and say, you know what, I don't like him anymore. I don't fully trust that any politician that we elect is going to be the answer. You need some, it's like law enforcement, right? You need them. I'm not saying, like, let's get rid of them. But you got to be careful. You got to temper your expectations, right? All right. That's my soapbox for the episode. CNN. Let's go to the Clinton News Network here. Listen to this. Democratic presidential candidate RFK Jr. has a history of repeatedly sharing unfounded conspiracies that man-made chemicals in the environment could be making children gay or transgender and causing the feminization of boys and masculinization of girls. Now, ironically, this is something we've talked about more so on... I do a show called Breaking Social Norms with my wife. It's a very different format, and it's more of a sort of freewheeling format. And we've talked about this many times. Because this is where, you know, the granola side of us, I very much think that this is a thing. And when you boil it down, it's because the corporations and the capitalists who believe that, oh, you know, the government shouldn't put any rules on any company. Well, these companies behave badly sometimes because they only are concerned with one thing, and that's more profit. So the way the system works, a lot of these companies use chemicals, and they don't have to divulge what's in the chemical because that's like a patent infringement thing, and it's, you know, we got to have competition and blah, 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 right? Okay, I get that. The problem is the chemicals they use ends up, you know, let's say there's a household cleaner. We'll use an example. That household cleaner who, you know, company A, they don't need to tell you what's in that because, you know, we need the free market competition. We can't have company B knowing that company A put this chemical in there and that's, you know, a better cleaner. So company A makes this cleaner. Everyone uses it. It ends up going down the drains. Everything ends up going back into the water system. Well, that same water system, your city tries to clean that water out, right? But how do you know what to filter out when you don't know what the chemicals are? So the fact is, the water companies have no idea. When they go to clean these things, they have no idea what they're trying to clean out. So do you think it gets filtered out? Not all the time. So all of those chemicals in the deodorants and the hairsprays and the cleaners and everything, it ends up coming back into your house. And, you know, that's why some people, they go as extreme as they put filters on the shower head, which I should do. I'm too lazy. But that's the problem. All these chemicals end up coming back. We're all one closed environment. It's not magically disappearing. And of course, there's a thing called endocrine disruptors. And the endocrine disruptors in a lot of the chemicals do, in fact, mimic estrogen. That's the one reason why I don't really eat soy. Because it has an endocrine, and don't, look, I'm not a doctor. Do your own research. I don't know. But that's what I've found when I'm reading a lot of this stuff. So it's not unfounded. It's not a conspiracy, CNN. And what's the irony of this is this used to be a liberal cause. This used to be a liberal talking point, is to keep the companies in check, clean the environment up, keep people healthy, right? And here they are, like, just trying to condemn this guy for something that's actually very true. Let me keep reading. Sorry, I'm still on my soapbox. Let me get back off. Okay. Experts dispute the claims from Kennedy, an environmental lawyer and anti-vaccine activist, and told CNN's K-File his theories that sexual identification and gender confusion among children could be from their exposure to endocrine disruptors found in the environment are completely unfounded. I want to just pursue just one question on these, you know, the other endocrine disruptors, because our children now, you know, we're seeing these impacts that people suspect are very different than in the ages past about sexual identification among children and sexual confusion, gender confusion. Kennedy said on his podcast in June last year, these kinds of issues, they are very, very controversial today. Blah, blah, blah. Endocrine disruptors are chemicals that interfere with the body's hormones and endocrine system, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. Such chemicals are commonly found in pesticides and plastic and can affect reproductive functions and increase the risk of obesity. Kennedy, on multiple occasions, misconstrued endocrine disruptors' studied ability to cause some male frogs to become female and produce viable eggs, suggesting that these chemicals could have similar effects on children and change their sexuality. CNN spoke to multiple experts who said there's no link between endocrine disruptors and children's gender and sexuality. While sex in frogs is determined by environmental factors such as temperature and chemicals, some doctor said that the sex of humans is determined at the moment of conception and cannot later be altered by endocrine disrupting chemicals. All right, I mean, there might be some fairness in that. But what they're missing, according to Dr. Isaac, is in the mind, someone might feel more feminine or more masculine than the, you know, biological given sex. And it wasn't, isn't that the whole liberal thing? Is like, you identify as this and we shall treat you as such, right? So what gives here? All of a sudden, that's a problem for CNN. And it, okay, here's where we wrap it up. The baseless claim that chemicals, particularly in tap water, could turn people gay has gained popularity with conspiracy theorists over the years, most memorably with conservative radio host Alex Jones, who said chemicals in the water were turning the friggin' frogs gay. But isn't it true? Isn't it true? And Alex Jones didn't say turning the friggin' humans gay. He said turning the friggin' frogs gay. According to this, it actually happened. So ridiculous. But here's the thing. None of this matters. They're running the smear campaign. It doesn't matter because they're going to cancel RFK Jr. He said that the thing from 2020 that will never go away, that ironically did go away under President Biden, of all things. Right? Didn't he sign the thing saying that it's over? Which, you know, that's what the conspiracy people, myself included, right? We said, you know, I say the thing from 2020 that's never going away. And a lot of conspiracy people, they've made entire platforms talking about the thing from 2020. They talk about it every day, all day. They're obsessed with it, right? And I gave that up long, long ago. I said, oh boy, you guys are getting too hyper-focused here. And that was the whole thing. That was the whole reason they raided the Capitol on Jan 6 was, you can't let Joe Biden in because he's going to take the thing from 2020 and they're going to turn this into an authoritarian, mandatory, stabby UN nightmare, right? Well, I guess not. He signed the thing saying that the emergency declaration or whatever it was called went away. So now what? Right? That doesn't fit into the mold of what a lot of people were saying. The big plan. And look, you could argue that, well, this was the test run. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Who knows, right? Why are we arguing about this still? Let's move on. I just think it's ironic that they think Trump was the good guy in all this when he was the one that was there when he was the only one that shut anything down. And Biden not only did not shut anything down, he actually ended the whole emergency crisis thing. Well, on a similar note, Jonah Hill. He's in the news, but not for anything good. You probably might already know where we're going with this. But fun fact, Jonah Hill's father was the tour accountant for Guns N' Roses. Who would have thought? I looked that up the other day. Here's what happened. His ex-girlfriend, surfer Sarah Brady, dropped some text messages alleging that he was being controlling, telling her she couldn't surf and she shouldn't be with other men and she shouldn't post photos of herself in a bikini and she shouldn't hang out with certain people, which is all very controlling behavior, right? Sarah Brady even said this. This is a warning to all girls. If your partner is talking to you like this, make an exit plan. Call me if you need an ear. And she also shared text messages showing that Hill requesting she remove surfing photos from her Instagram account that showed her ass in a thong. But she's a surfer, so, okay. Now, there's actually a ton to unpack. If you want to get into Hollywood gossip here, if you want to get into the gender wars here, I know you didn't come here for that, so we're not doing that. If you go to House and Habit, she runs a Substack, or at least her Instagram sometimes. Follow her on Instagram. I combed through her stuff, and I believe she had like some unreleased text messages. She had some information on it. It's a lot to follow, right? Anyhow, the vibe I got that was that it seemed to imply that maybe this is the media picking on Jonah Hill. I don't know. It's hard to tell, right? I don't know all the ins and outs, so I don't want to say that. Where I come into play is that some have questioned if this is all part of what they call the Illuminati humiliation ritual. The idea that something, you know, they signed the bargain. You know, Jonah Hill got all this fame. He was in a bunch of movies, but now he's got to pay the price. Now he's got to be torn back down. And does this really happen? I don't know. It is a strange phenomenon. But then there's also the sort of psychology of gossip where people like to build up these celebrities as gods, but then they love to tear them down and watch them fall too. Sort of an ancient ritual, if you will. Now, what is interesting is that Jonah Hill was in the Black Eye Club in January 2022. A lot of people say that that is, you know, if you look up the images, you'll see tons of them. Lots of people, politicians and famous celebrities that got a black eye, like they're getting into fist fights every weekend. They're in a fight club. And Jonah Hill was asked about this black eye, and this is what he claimed. This is what his official response was, okay? I'm going to say this once and once only. This black eye is from my surfboard. It is not from a fist fight I got into with Baby Yoda because of our falling out. So that's what he said. I don't know where the Baby Yoda thing comes into play, but he says it was from his surfboard. So definitely going to keep an eye on Jonah Hill, right? Might be more to come on that. Moving on, a segment I'm calling As Above, So Below. And you know, shout out to various theorists out there, Tommy Truthful and Donut. They were covering all this stuff. I just got too behind on other shows. So some of this might be late news to you. Let's talk with As Above first. American Airlines woman sees an entity. You already know the story. It went viral. This woman on a American Airlines flight from Dallas to Orlando. She gets up. She walks to the front of the plane. She's basically cussing out a guy in the back, saying he's not real and everyone can die with him if they want, but she's getting off this plane. Now, lots of theories came out from all this. First off, it is kind of odd she did not get arrested. This plane was delayed 3 hours, apparently. Even weirder, she's not seeking fame from this. She's not going to capitalize this viral moment, which is completely unheard of in today's society. She's apparently still anonymous as of this recording, possibly in hiding. And the fallout is that some people, the normies, we'll say, oh, she was just drunk. There's people that saw her drinking in the airport. Maybe. I mean, she kind of has a slur. It's very possible she was just drunk. I can tell you, I don't know that I would have been that drunk to behave in that way, because it wasn't like she was stumbling around or sort of snot-flinging drunk or slurring that hard. I find a hard time believing that she was that wasted. And of course it's possible. But others claim that she saw something very frightening, a shape-shifting lizard person. And everyone claims they were on this plane. Carrot Top. There's people who say, oh, she lost her AirPods and she was, she interacted with a guy with a hoodie, and the guy with the hoodie, there's a still frame and it looks like he's got lizard eyes. It's a fascinating story. I wish we had more information. I wish we knew. But there's a new finding from Evie Magazine. I'm going to read to you. Sarah Gonzalez, a news host for the Blaze Media, owned by Glenn Beck, by the way. Oh, and I don't know if you... Okay, we did the show on Sound of Freedom, a very controversial show. And since then, Tim Ballard, the subject of the whole theory, the guy who's Jim Caviezel's playing in the movie, the big hero, right? The sacred cow that we question and I get a lot of blowback on. Tim Ballard stepped away from Operation Underground Railroad that he had founded just the week after I published that show. Talking about in the last 7 days. He resigned from Operation Underground Railroad, and he resigned from Glenn Beck's Nazarene Fund. He was the CEO of that. What does it mean? I don't know. I think it's very, very odd that he did those things. So, obviously, more to come on that, right? Okay, Sarah Gonzalez, host on Blaze Media, shared a video from the woman who claims to be a friend of a friend who's friends with the plane lady. And it's weird that we haven't identified who this woman is yet, right? I mean, there's got to be people who's like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, what's her name from down the street, or, oh, that's what's her, I work with her. You know, it's weird no one's capitalizing on that. Number one, she's alive, she says in this video. She did not disappear. She was going on a cruise, which would explain the disappearance. She also thought about how wild it would be to unplug, go on vacation, and come back to realize you were the top trending audio on all social media platforms. Second of all, she was not drunk, not drinking, not drunk, which I have to be honest, I thought I was, I first initially saw the video, and I just want to clear that up because I know that there were a lot of people bashing her. Finally, she references the interaction between the plane lady and the person she claimed was, quote, not real. Apparently, something was misplaced. She looked at him and he said to her, I'm going to take this whole plane down. That's all she knows, and she hopes that whenever the plane lady feels comfortable and safe, she will come forward, tell her side of the story. So many questions here. I mean, if that's really what happened, if a strange guy next to me said he's taking the whole plane down, I don't know why you wouldn't more covertly tell the attendants, like, hey, is there a what are the undercover guys called on the planes, right? Why wouldn't you really want to make sure that plane didn't take off before this guy got checked out? It's just odd. It's the oddest story. I hope the lady does come forward to tell us what happened here. I mean, I'd love to think that she saw a shape-shifting lizard person. That would be super awesome, right? Especially right around the UFO, the UFO disclosure congressional meetings. I mean, that'd be great timing. All right, so that's as above. Well, we go down below. As above, so below. The Titanic rescue mission of OceanGate. You already know the whole story. You know that there was a little submarine with a bunch of rich dudes. It might have been a rich woman on there too. I don't know. I actually don't know the victim list. Some rich people went down to look at the Titanic thing, and the submersible ended up imploding apparently and killing everybody inside of it. And lots of videos show the CEO of OceanGate. He took great pride in not, you know, in going around the system and saying, well, I don't need permits and I don't need to follow regulations. We made this happen. So, you know, a rich guy saying he's above the law, getting killed. And a lot of people support that. In fact, I saw a fun bumper sticker that said, send more down with the submersible. I thought that was kind of funny. I mean, it's not funny that people died, right? Like, I don't enjoy even rich people that might be buttholes. You know, sad. Still sad. They had families, you know. Whatever. Now, there's some weird things. Let's talk first about the weird connection to the flat Earth theory. You know, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist. I definitely don't want to sound like a flat earther because I'm not that. But there are some strange things to consider. First, the stepson went to the Blink-182 concert during the supposed rescue. You know, he's really shook up that his billionaire stepfather's missing. Whatever, right? Who cares? But what's interesting is that the guy running the mission, Hamish Harding, a few years ago broke the world record for circumnavigation of the globe around the poles, which means he flew over the North and South Poles. Meaning, he, with his own eyes, would have disproven, or proven, the flat Earth theory that no one, because the flat earthers, they insist no one's allowed to go over the poles. Flights can't go over the poles because that'll give it away. And one of my debunks of that, when I wrote the book about it in 2017 or whatever it was, it's called Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. You can get it on Amazon, Audible, all the places. One of the debunks for the flat earth theory was that you could, in fact, charter a flight that flies right over the poles. If you had, I think it was like 50 grand or something crazy. if you had enough money, you could do it and see it with your own eyes. And apparently this guy did it. But is it a coincidence that he's now dead? Maybe he saw something, maybe he didn't. I don't know. Now, another weird oddity is the wife of the CEO. Well, no, not the CEO. CEO. Yeah, the OceanGate CEO, Stockton Rush. His wife, Wendy Rush, her great-great-grandfather was Isidore Strauss. Isidore Strauss and his wife, Ida Strauss, were depicted in the movie The Titanic. When it started flooding, this old couple's just laying in bed. They decide they want to die together. Very sad. And, of course, The Titanic, starring the greatest actor of all time, Leonardo DiCaprio. Only the difference was, apparently, it was more noble than that. They wanted all, because they were one of the richest people on the boat, and they owned Macy's or something, and they were offered lifeboats almost immediately, but they said, no, we want to make sure all the women and children get on the lifeboats first. That's why they died on the Titanic. So, really odd coincidence here. Making you wonder, is there a Titanic curse? It's trying to, you know, eat up everybody related to it. I don't know. Let's see here. We're wrapping up here, folks. I'm giving you the 5-minute warning. Okay, now let's talk about the original Titanic conspiracy a little bit, because it could play a role in the whole thing. There's this whole Federal Reserve angle. If you go to Zach Voorhees on Twitter, laid out a thread that's pretty good. It said that Titanic survivors never mentioned an iceberg. They did mention hearing explosions. And the theory is that the capitalists, the industrialists on board, they were opposed to the creation of the Federal Reserve. This included John Jacob Astor, who Fritz Springmeier said is one of the 13 Illuminati bloodlines. This is the family that owns the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Also, Benjamin Guggenheim, I believe that's from the famous Guggenheim, Los Angeles. Was he owned some museums or something? I don't know. And then, Isidore Strauss also, right? He was the guy from that last story that died. And George Wyden. But apparently there's a short scene in Titanic of people arguing about the creation of the Federal Reserve. I haven't confirmed that. In fact, I just watched the Titanic like 3 months ago, so... But I didn't catch that. Also on board, and this is very got 9/11 vibes, right? When you find out all those celebrities were on the planes, and then they end up at the last minute saying, "Oh, we're not going to catch the flight." You know, Seth MacFarlane, I think Marky Mark was supposed to be on a flight, but J.P. Morgan, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, apparently they were all supposed to be on the Titanic. But they got off the ship right before it took off. Well, it turns out those guys supported the idea of a Federal Reserve system. But John Jacob Astor, who was on board and died, he wasn't just the richest man on the Titanic. He was one of the richest men in the world. And he opposed the Fed. And what I find odd is that they offered up lifeboats to the elites first. We just talked about that, right? We talked about the, what's his name? I already forgot his name. Just that quick. Isidore Strauss and his wife Ida. They were one of the richest people on board. They got offered boats and they said, no, we want to make sure the women and kids get out first. So you're telling me that one of the richest men in the world and the richest man in the Titanic wasn't offered a lifeboat? That doesn't even make sense. Doesn't even add up. So infamously, the Titanic goes down in 1912. Then a year later, in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act signed into law, effectively changing the control of the monetary system. And another oddity, UNESCO called the Titanic a cultural heritage site and apparently was trying to limit any kind of trips to it. The Ocean Gate obviously found a way to bypass that. Don't ask me how, I don't know. But the point is, now we see this tragedy and they're actually pushing more limits on who can go down there, out of safety. I think if you want to risk your life, like, I don't know. I guess the idea is that it used a lot of resources, taxpayer resources, trying to find these guys. So maybe you got a good argument there. Now, it's strange that the fact that the Wikipedia for the Titanic story makes no mention of this theory, that tells me that it might be true. That's the weird part about it. No, really? No one's going to talk about that at all? And Reuters, of course, they did a fact check. They fact checked the theory. And they said, well, okay, J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on the Titanic. He actually owned it. And, you know, the owner of the Titanic doesn't take the maiden voyage? That doesn't make any sense. And if you go to TitanicBelfast.com, they say that J.P. Morgan got sick and that's why he didn't go. J.P. Morgan also died in 1913, which is kind of odd. It says that Milton Hershey and Gwynne Vanderbilt, which is, you know, the Anderson Cooper bloodlines, they also were supposed to be on board, but they changed their schedules too. Last minute. And then Reuters, they conclude, they said, there's no evidence to support why Morgan wasn't on board or any kind of conspiracy. Oh, well, there you go. But they never disproved it. So, I mean, to be fair and honest, you have to say the jury's still out is the thing, right? Finally, one last thing about it. The kids, they had more common sense than some of the some of these boomer dads, right? They're calling the boomers the, you know, we always pick on the boomers. Boomers, they got great work ethic, right? But they call them the lead paint generation. And again, this goes back to that environmental thing. You know, whoever was in charge of the EPA and allowed lead paint to go on the walls, well, maybe that was a bad decision, right? They banned it, as they should. Because these products introduce all kinds of chemicals and poisons and toxins into our environment, and we pay the price. I'm going to read you from TMZ. A Vegas tycoon didn't like the odds of surviving a trip aboard the ill-fated Titanic submarine, and his intuition saved his life. Jay Bloom says he could have been a passenger on the OceanGate-owned Titan submarine that claimed the lives of five people after the vessel imploded during a voyage to see the remnants of the Titanic. All right, that's what TMZ said. I'm going to read that to you one more time. A Vegas tycoon didn't like the odds of surviving a trip, an intuition that saved his life. Oh, okay. Cool. Then it proceeds to say, one text exchange showed how Bloom's son was clearly apprehensive about going on the voyage, with Bloom stating, my son's friend researched what could go wrong and put a little scare in him. He's excited to go, but concerned about the danger. So immediately they debunked their own theory that the rich guy's intuition was so great, it saved his life. No, it was his son. His son tried to relay some common sense about this whole thing. And you hear about the young guy that died on the sub, I believe he also didn't want to go on the sub either. So there you go. Man, a lot of news to catch up on. I'm still working hard on Twin Peaks. I'm in fact trying to secure some Twin Peaks shirts, all right? If you're a Twin Peaks fan, you're going to want to get a shirt. So stay subscribed to all my places for news on that. I've got an email newsletter. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, sign for the email newsletter. I will be shooting out emails. You know, you can subscribe on social media, but sometimes they hide stuff that I post, whatever. But sign up for the free email newsletter. You'll get a free copy of my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, What's There Not to Love? And I own the email newsletter. I'm not selling it out to anybody. It's just for me to tell you information on new shows, new shirts, new books, things like that, right? So go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. Sign up for the email newsletter. I've got links for it all over the place. There should be a pop-up when you go there. Also, if you're already on the newsletter, I need your help here. Drop me a 5-star, okay? Give me that 5-star review. I've got lots of haters on there, and they be hating. So I need the love, right? I need you to help me. If you enjoy the research I do, drop a 5-star. Till next time, my friends. Stay woke.